I'm excited about 2018. I wasn't so excited last week, but man, I feel excited this week. I feel like I'm kind of back into the routine, back into the groove. Life feels good again, and I'm excited to share with you what I have to tell you today. We are starting a new series called Grow on Purpose, because we believe that growth is not some random thing that just happens circumstantially to us, but I believe that growth is something that is intentional. And I think we have to be intentional about growing. And I'm praying that this year, that 2018, will be marked not just by us meeting together and doing some good things together, but specifically that it'll be marked by us growing together. Now, I have a theory that is kind of undergirding all of what I'm about to tell you, and that theory is that I believe that most people want to grow. I believe that most people want to grow. If you're here today and you want to grow as a person this year, raise your hand. Most of us, right? Almost all of us. And so you want to grow, but I also believe that most people don't know how to grow. They're not sure how they grow. They're not sure what God uses to help them grow. They're not sure what growth even looks like or even what it means when I say the word grow. And so if you're that way today, I want to help you to understand what it means to really grow. And I believe that there are five things that God uses to help us grow, and I want to detail those for you this morning. But let me begin by defining what growth is. I believe that growth, for our purposes here in the church and as God's people, I believe that growth is when you move from where you are to where you're supposed to be. When you move from where you are to where you're supposed to be. And that's really the grace of God, isn't it? The grace of God saves you right where you are. God saves you right where you are. He loves you right where you are. If you're here today and you're far from perfect, hey, join the club, okay? They let me preach every week. You believe that? They let me get up here and preach. And you don't get more imperfect than this. So if you're here and you're imperfect, hey, good. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. But the grace of God meets you where you're imperfect, but it loves you too much to leave you there. The grace of God loves you enough to meet you where you're imperfect, but God wants to move you to where you need to be. And so that's growth. Growth is when you move from where you are to where you're supposed to be, when you move from your agenda to God's agenda. That's what growth is. And so my job, our church's job, is to help move you from where you are to where you're supposed to be. It's to help move you from your agenda to God's agenda. And so I want to start out the new year detailing for you what that means and what that looks like. But where do you need to be? And what does God want to grow in you? Does he want to grow your happiness? I think that, you know, can be a great byproduct of following the Lord, but I don't know that God's as concerned about our happiness as we sometimes think he is. Does he want to grow our prosperity? Well, I definitely know that God's not as concerned about us being prosperous as we might like to believe that he is sometimes. So what is it that he wants to grow in us? Well, I believe that what God wants to grow in you and in me and in our lives is God wants to grow our faith. He wants to grow our faith. And faith is simply this. It means it's that you are confident in God. Faith is confidence in God. It means that you are confident in God to be who he says he is and to do what he says he's going to do. If you're confident in that, then you have faith. And we can boil it down to really one word, and that one word is trust. When you have faith, when you have confidence in God, you trust. And trust is the crux of every relationship, isn't it? I mean, if my wife doesn't trust me and I don't trust her, we don't have much of a relationship, do we? If you don't trust your friend, then they might not really be your friend. So trust is the crux of every relationship, and I believe that God sent his son to die for us so that we could be in a restored relationship with him. so that God wouldn't be some ethereal being who's out there, but that God would be personal and real to you and meaningful in your life. And that can only happen if you trust Him. So when you trust God, you have faith. What I want us to talk about today is five things that can grow that trust, that can grow that confidence, that can grow that faith in the Lord. I believe that God uses these five things. They are not necessarily directly out of the Bible, but they are things that are certainly supported by what the Bible has to say. And you find these things whenever you talk to people who have grown. You say, hey, tell me about your life. How have you grown in the Lord? And they will tell you some variation of this list of five things. And I want you to know these five things because they will help you from here on out. See, now that you know them, you can say, okay, I know how to grow, and these are the five areas that I'm going to put myself toward. So the first one is this. Practical teaching. People grow through practical teaching. It may have started for you at a college Bible study or in the youth group, or for many of you women, you probably had practical teaching for the first time whenever you went into a Beth Moore Bible study. And you said, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. The Bible has come alive for me. I thought it was just some ancient book. I thought it was there almost like a museum piece that people had in their homes just to decorate the home. But now I realize that there's stuff in there that I need. There's stuff in there that comes alive. There are things in there that make me feel a way that I've never felt before. I never realized that. Do you remember the first time that happened to you? There are probably several times that happened to me in my life, but one that I remember very clearly is when I was 21 years old. I wasn't walking with God. I'd grown up in the church. I'd always heard good teaching and was in the youth group and was a big part of that. And I would have told you that God was a big part of my life. But when I got out on my own, He wasn't that big a part of my life. And I was not living for God. I was partying. I was doing all kinds of things. And I went with my mom. My mom, I have a hard time saying no to my mom. She's just the sweetest lady in the world. And she asked me if I would go with her and her friends to Indianapolis, Indiana, to the praise gathering, which was put on by the Gaithers. Do y'all remember the Gaithers? Anybody know who I'm talking about? The Gaithers? The Gaithers are like this Southern gospel family that sings all these songs that I would never listen to, okay? I would never listen. This is old people music to me at the time. And so my mom invited me to go to the old people conference with the Gaithers. I'm pretty sure I was the youngest guy there. And I wasn't living for God. I was smoking and drinking. I was doing all this stuff. And man, I was not doing the right things. But I went because I couldn't say no to mom. And I showed up at this praise gathering, and this guy named Rich Hodge got up to speak. And he had terminal cancer. And he started to share about the grace of God. And it was like I'd never heard it before. I always grew up thinking that, you know, God only loved you if you did the right things, and He didn't like you if you did the wrong things. And I was doing all the wrong things, so I just thought He didn't like me. And when he started talking about the grace of God, how, look, it's not about deserve. It's not about whether you're doing the right things or the wrong things. It's about how God sent His Son for all of us. And that in light of the holiness of God and the greatness of God, none of us are doing the right things. None of us deserve it. And it was like the first time I'd heard it. And God just, that practical teaching, God used it to just light a fire in my heart. And here I was at the old people Gaither conference, this young man, and I just came alive. I was not the same. God revived me through practical teaching, and maybe that happened to you at some point along the way. Many of you have told me after services here, oh my gosh, Pastor Steve, are you spying on me? It's like you knew exactly what was going on this week. I can't believe you said that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God who's doing something through some imperfect vessel like me. That's how powerful biblical practical teaching can be. And that's why it's so important that you make a commitment to be in church. It's not because we want to have, you know, all these inflated numbers and make ourselves look good. and all that stuff. It's not because we want more money or any of those things. It's because we want God to grow you. And God uses practical biblical teaching to grow us. So if you want to grow in 2018, a great place to start would be recommit yourself to church, to be here and expose yourself to practical teaching. Secondly, God uses private disciplines. He uses private disciplines. If you talk to somebody about their faith walk and they tell you how they grow, many times they will say, look, at one point I was just going to church and it was really good, but at some point I decided that I was going to go home and read the Bible for myself. At some point I decided I was going to go into a room by myself and it was just going to be me and God, and I was going to start praying to Him. And I was going to start reading the Bible. And those moments of private discipline, it became a habit for me. It became an everyday thing for me. And that moment of private discipline really transformed me. It really kicked my faith up a notch. Now, there's a reason for that, because the Bible says, Jesus Himself says in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He's talking about personal time with God. If you take the time to get alone with the Lord and spend that personal, private time with Him, it says here that He's going to reward that. And the way He rewards that is by giving you more faith. He gives you more trust in Him when you spend time with Him. Makes sense, doesn't it? I know this. I know that whenever I spend personal, private time with God, it builds my confidence in the Lord, but it also builds my confidence in myself. It helps me to go through the day more confidently because I know that I've already surrendered myself to God. And the decisions that I make that day are more likely to be guided by Him and not just me and my crazy mind, you know? So when you spend that personal, private time with God, He builds your faith. He rewards you in that by building your faith. So if you want 2018 to be a time of growth for you, spend private time with God. There is a direct correlation between your private devotional life and your personal faith. When your quiet time grows, your faith grows. Thirdly, personal ministry. God uses personal ministry to grow you. He uses personal ministry to grow you. If you're not involved in a ministry, then it's likely that your growth will be stagnated a little bit. But when you get involved, when you take that step, whenever you step out and say, okay, I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I know how to, but I'm going to help watch the toddlers today, you know? I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I know how to, but I'm going to go volunteer with the youth group. They might ask me a question, and I don't know the Bible very well, and it scares me, because what if they ask me a question and I'm stumped? Well, our God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. He will make sure that He grows your faith. And if you put yourself out there and put yourself in a position to be used by Him, God is going to honor that. So put yourself out there. Now, for some of you, you've done this, and you know, I got involved in a personal ministry. I didn't want to. I was reluctant, but God used it. I remember a time in our lives whenever we did that. We decided after we got married that we would move to Germany for 2 years and work with a church there. Now, you know those first years of marriage are hard anyway, but when you go off to a foreign country, you don't speak the language, you don't know a single soul, and you live there for 2 years, it stretches your faith. It grows your faith because you are taking a step of faith every single step of the way. Now, you don't have to go to Germany or some foreign country, but you might need to take a baby step of faith if you're going to grow in 2018. You might need to get involved in some ministry. You might need to volunteer. You might need to volunteer even at some local ministry outside of the church, like the food pantry or something like that. But taking that step of faith and stepping out, even whenever it's uncertain for you, grows your faith. Fourth, providential relationships. God uses providential relationships to grow your faith. Now, all of us could probably talk about this, how there was a time in our life when we needed a friend, when we needed a person to come into our life, and that person came in and they grew our faith. They sharpened us. They stretched us to think in ways that we hadn't thought before. They showed us a side of God that we maybe didn't know. Maybe they were compassionate to us when we needed it, or they were caring for our soul and nurtured us in a way that we hadn't experienced before. That God uses people to help grow people. He uses relationships. That's why we encourage you to get involved in a life group. Because we know that as much as God uses practical teaching to grow your faith, He really uses a time whenever you get together with other believers and you talk and you open up and you share, hey, this verse hit me. Or, hey, I'm going through this struggle and I need prayer, or whatever it may be. And you have other believers who walk alongside you. That is a providential relationship. And notice I said providential. That means by God's hand it happened. By the hand of providence. It wasn't just a run-in. It wasn't just a coincidence. You didn't just happen to get to know this person. It is a God-ordained relationship. And I believe that that happens. I believe that God sees where you are, and He knows you need more faith, and there are times when He just sends people your way. Just at the right time, just when you needed them, and they help you take that faith to another level. That's happened to me a bunch of times. That's happened to me with some of y'all in this audience. God has used you to help grow my faith, and I hope He's used me to help grow yours. But that's the way God works. He uses those providential relationships. So if you want to grow in 2018, put yourself in a position to make a providential relationship. Get involved in a group. It'll be good for your soul, and God will use it to change you. Finally, we got practical teaching, we got private disciplines, we got personal ministry, we have providential relationships. And the last one is something that we don't have any real control over at all. It's pivotal circumstances. God uses pivotal circumstances. When people describe their faith journey, they will often say that there was some kind of defining moment that happened to them. There was a defining moment, it was out of their control, it happened, and it made them think about God differently. And this is a tricky one because it can either go in the positive direction or the negative direction. It either made them have more trust in God or made them have less. And so pivotal circumstances is really, really important. And I believe, notice that I said God uses these things. I'm not saying that He causes them. I'm saying He uses them. I believe that God doesn't waste anything that happens to us. And He can use a pivotal circumstance to really, really shape you and change you. He has used that more in my life than any other thing. When my dad died when I was young, that was the most pivotal circumstance that had happened to me. It still is the most pivotal circumstance that's happened in my life. It was truly a defining moment. And I was so confused and so young that I didn't know how to deal with it. But when I grew up a little bit, I came to realize that God was going to use this in my life. And He has many, many times. There are so many people who I've talked to who I would not be effective with if it weren't for that pivotal circumstance in my life. So God has used it. He's used it to shape me and change me. And I wouldn't be here as your pastor today if it weren't for that pivotal circumstance. God used it and He shaped me through it. Here's a fact. Big, emotionally charged, unexpected life events are major factors in the development or erosion of our confidence in God. Let me give you some pivotal circumstances that I just thought of right off the top of my head. Having children. Having children, that's a pivotal circumstance. And there are many people who come to church after they have kids because after about a week, they're like, what am I supposed to do with this? I need help. God, help me. I'm going to church. I'm doing whatever I have to do because I have no clue how to raise this person. And a lot of people get their kids in church because they go, you know what, I never had a really strong faith, but I want my kids to have that because I feel like I missed out on something. And the only time that happens is right after they have children and they have that pivotal circumstance that forces them to think about things that are bigger than themselves. How about a job transfer? A job transfer is a big pivotal circumstance. It can be a good thing. You've taken on this new role, you've been transferred to a new town, but you don't know anyone, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go to connect, and it causes you to evaluate your life and say, hey, I'm going to be a part of this church, or I'm going to be a part of a faith journey that is going to take me deeper in the Lord. How about the death of a friend or a loved one? Many of you have experienced that. This one's really tricky because it can either make you bitter at God, or it can move you to draw closer to Him. I know for me, I've experienced this, not just with my dad, but with many family members and friends over the years. And it always has the effect on me, I don't know why, but it always has the effect of drawing me nearer to God. Because it makes me look at my own mortality. And it makes me look at how fleeting life is. And it makes me say, if life is this short, I want to be a part of something eternal. I want to be a part of something lasting and good. So the death of a friend or a loved one. How about a divorce? Some of you are here today because you went through a divorce and the personal pain of it was so deep that you knew you needed a faith community. And you knew you needed the Lord's help to get through it. And you knew you needed a community of believers to get your kids through it. You know, you needed that shared responsibility and support. So divorce is a big life circumstance. How about an illness? A lot of people go through an illness, and it always amazes me when somebody goes through a very profound illness, and it seems to strengthen their faith. You know, I always have this idea that it would bother me, and it would make me mad at God, but for many people, it strengthens their faith, and it actually moves them closer to the Lord. Because again, they have to face their own frailty. Then finally, you know, getting a promotion. You get a promotion, it's a good thing, but you're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. And you, for the first time in your life, kind of feel like, I can't do this on my own, God. I need your help. So there are many pivotal circumstances that happen in life, and God uses those circumstances to bring us closer to Him. So those are the five things that I believe that God really uses. If I were to talk to you about your testimony and say, how did you grow in the Lord? I think we'd probably find one of those five things in your story. I didn't come up with that. A pastor named Andy Stanley came up with that. But I think it's absolutely true that God uses these five things to grow us and to shape us and to move us. Here's what I want you to understand today. God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow. And I believe this. I believe that most of you want to grow. But maybe you don't know how. And maybe today will go a long way into showing you, hey, this is what God uses to help you grow. And if you're going through these things in your life right now, or if some of these things are missing, then maybe you need to put yourself in an environment, in a position where God can utilize these things to deepen your faith and to grow you to another level. So here's what I want to do today. I want you to commit today that you're going to be here for the next 4 weeks. Because over the next 4 weeks, we're going to really dive into these things even further and talk about some of the details of these five things that God uses to help you grow. I'm not going to talk about practical teaching anymore after today, but we're going to go into the rest of these in a deeper way. And I want you to really come out of this knowing, hey, this is what God uses to help me grow, and I'm going to get involved in these areas of my life because I'm serious about growth this year. So if you're serious about growth this year, the first thing you can do is say, I'm going to be here for the next 4 weeks, or I'm going to find a way to hear the messages over the next 4 weeks. And here's the other thing I want you to do. I just want you to close your eyes right now. Nobody looking around. And I want you to make a declaration this morning. If it's really what God is leading you to do, I want you to make this declaration. If you want to grow in your faith this year, I want you to just raise your hand. If you want to grow in your faith this year, just raise your hand. All right, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's very important if you raise your hand that you're here over the next month. And it's really important that you're here 4 weeks from now. Because one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to help you develop a plan of growth. A plan of growth where that you can make a commitment to be involved in the things that you need to be involved in order to grow in the Lord and to grow in your faith. God wants to grow you. I'm excited that we have resolved together today that many of us want to grow. And I want you to make a New Year's resolution, not just to lose weight or to get up earlier or to get back in the gym or anything like that, but I want you to make a spiritual resolution this year. I'm going to resolve to grow in my faith. And if you're serious about that, we want to help you develop a plan to do so. Will you pray with me? God, I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. I want to thank you that you saw fit to, with great intentionality, to solve the problem of a broken relationship between you and your people. And you mended that brokenness by sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again so that we might have free access to you in a restored relationship. And I thank you for that, God, because it was so intentional. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't random. It was an intentional plan to restore what had been lost. I pray, Lord, that we as your people who have been restored, I pray that we would be intentional today. That we would no longer be haphazard about our growth. That we would no longer be random about our growth. But we would be intentional. That we would grow on purpose. And we need your help to do that, Lord. So God, grow us. Give us that intentionality. Build our faith even now. So that these won't just be words or thoughts, but that they will take root in our heart and be actions, that we would be people of growth. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.